How's everybody doing? Great. Wonderful, great. Did you get refueled at the feast? I say we did. I mean, we did. I mean, as Josh made mention before the third hymn, you know, you never know. We had to make the change from Kalamazoo, and you don't know. You know, we tried to make the call in enough time to tell everybody to see if we have enough activities. And boy, did we have some great activities. I don't want to repeat what Josh said, but it's God blessed it. And all the people came together, the congregation, some of the congregation stayed for that feast site in Syracuse and offered help, offered homes, offered, you know, it was just awesome. And God truly blessed that. And as I said earlier, we plan on, God willing, going back to Syracuse. We're already, I told this the last great day, I said, usually Karen and I take a month off or so, and then we start looking and planning. It was that Friday night we were talking. Oh, we could do this. When's the feast? It's Tuesday to Tuesday next year. We can do this day. We can do this. Oh, try to bring the boat back. We try to do this, that. And we got other people working on things already for the feast next year. So if you truly want a Midwestern-style feast, very personable. The new people that came were very grateful. They said that. They were very thankful for the feast site in Syracuse. And we just give God all the glory and the honor for that, blessing that site. God willing, we'll be back there in Syracuse. I know at first you thought, what's there to do in Syracuse? And come and behold and open the eyes, our eyes, when we got down there. We can do this. We got a boat ride. We got this. We kept some of the favorites. We got to do other things. It was just truly amazing. So again, I want to say thank you for all the prayers. And God answered those prayers and give God all the glory. It was truly a feast that I didn't want to leave. And I thought that as we were packing up and getting ready to come back home, do I really have to come back into the world? Yeah, at this time we did. But there's going to be a time when we don't have to. When Christ returns, His kingdom set up, we'll be in the kingdom, and then beyond when the Father returns. But that is not for now. We keep praying that His kingdom returns, comes soon, and that Christ will, on His white horse, come and save us and relieve us and give us our reward. But until that time, we have to keep going. And here we are. We're back from the feast. We're back from the last great day, that great eighth day of the feast. And as I said, hopefully we got refueled. We got pumped up. We rejoiced, we were inspired. We enjoyed the fellowship of so many like-minded individuals, old friends, seen for the first time in a while. Friends that we see every other week. But it doesn't matter, it was all God-inspired, and they all had the Spirit of God in them, and God just brought us together, like-minded. Well, here we are, a week later, on the Sabbath day. We spent a week in the world. How do we keep this momentum going? We're back in the world. How do we keep the inspiration? Really, we have the weekly Sabbath. Here we are on the weekly Sabbath. Our weekly, as I think Steve mentioned, or maybe Tom did in a message, our weekly watering hole. That we come together every week before God, get refueled for the week ahead. What a high, though, that we had at the Feast of Tabernacles. And now we have a little under 6 months until the next set of holy days when the Passover comes again. It'll be here before you know it. Usually that's how it feels. But a little less than 6 months away, we will gather together at the Lord's Supper, then the Days of Unleavened Bread, and restart the holy day calendar, the yearly calendar that God has given us, shown us, and told us the truth about. But how do we keep this momentum? How do we not get dragged down by the world, even though we do have this weekly Sabbath? Let's go to Philippians. Philippians 2. Kind of think about it that we just got to keep praying harder, that His kingdom comes sooner than later, so we can enjoy that even more, what we enjoyed at the Feast of Tabernacles. Philippians 2, verse 5. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the stake." We keep going with the mind of Christ. We keep going with what we were taught. We are taught continually, whether it's the holy days or the weekly Sabbath. We keep going. It was so much fun. I'm going to keep saying that today. It was great. 8 days full of inspiration and worship and fellowship of fun activities. And I truly believe this past feast just that ended over a week ago was even more of a taste of what the kingdom's going to be like. The church has always said for decades upon decades, make the next feast the best feast ever. And I truly believe this one that we just finished was the best feast ever. So that we keep that same mindset. It says in verse 12 of Philippians 2, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." We continue to be open-minded to the Word of God. We continue to be humble before the Father and get out of His way. Josh did a message about that maybe a couple years. Just get out of His way. Let Him work with us and through us and guide us. And Paul says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." And we are saying this before the feast. We do live in perverse times. We do live in the midst of a crooked generation. Lies are the norm. Lies are the norm now. There's no truth. We live in a time where somebody says something one day and less than 24 hours later, "I didn't say that. I said this." And it's on tape, but nobody cares. You know, it doesn't matter. We shine as lights in the world, and we have to keep the flames in ourselves lit and flickering without going out. Philippians 3, verse 20. And just remember what we've been taught. What did we just go through the feast learning and growing in? Philippians 3, verse 20. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior." Oh, yes, we do. We wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We wait for His return. We pray for His return, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. And let's continue in chapter 4, because it continues with the thought of verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." Stand fast in the Lord. We got to keep this momentum going. Keep it going. Bring it to the weekly Sabbath. I just found it, the years that the feast falls on the weekly Sabbath, it's like it doesn't miss a beat. It just doesn't miss a beat. Not that it does any other year, it's just interesting how it falls when it falls Sabbath to Sabbath. So here we are again. to renew, to refuel for the upcoming week. Stay in Philippians, Philippians 4. Verse 4, this time. We're going to jump a few verses ahead to verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing." I know it's hard. As humans, anxious, what's next? What if? What if? What if this happens? What if this happens? But it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." We've got to strive to put that anxiety off to the side for anxious about something. There's a lot of what ifs. There are. We look at life, again, the generation that we live in, the times that we live in, there's a lot of what ifs. And not to get political, what if this person wins the election versus this person? Whether it be the presidential one or the Senate races that we see in our states or the local races, the mindsets of people that are running. What if COVID still stays around? What if? What if the wildfires continue out west? All these what ifs, so many what ifs. What if the violence continues in the many different cities? As humans, we watch the news and we get anxious. Sometimes we get like frustrated, maybe angry. We've talked about that before. But Paul says here, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God's there for us. God hears our prayers. And as I said earlier here in Philippians, let Him work through us. Allow Him to work through us and to guide us to where He wants us to be. And it says in verse 8 of Philippians 4, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. So Paul is reminding them to go back to what they learned, what they know to be true. That's what Paul is saying. So if we get distracted or frustrated, if we feel our momentum or our inspiration slowing down, go back to where it began, where what we learned, go back and pray and meditate and read. If we took notes during services, go back to those notes. Revisit. That's a wonderful thing about technology. We can go back and watch. And again, thank you to Yannick and to Bob, the two different websites that we have. We can go back and watch the feast days, the services, if we want to go back, if we miss something. And I know Gretna took the, even though they were having internet issues, they recorded their services and their messages, and they put them online so we can go back. A beautiful thing about technology. I bet Paul, when he's resurrected, is going to be jealous beyond belief. Any of the apostles, really? Wow, that's great. You know, go back. Revisit, review, reread, pray. Ask for God's help if we feel it slowing down. Continue to seek the things that are higher. We have to make sure we use this day, the weekly Sabbath. We have to make sure we use it correctly. I was reading, I'm about ready to send a letter into the Reader's Digest, because I was reading this new monthly Reader's Digest. Had an article that caught my eye. We should, one day a week we should rest, or somehow the article went. I was like, oh, I got to read this article. That's great. And it was talking about a weekly rest, and it was coming from a world point of view, so they were saying Sunday. So, okay. But then the author of the article said, well, if you read the Bible, and she quoted, it was a she quoted the commandment, thou shalt work 6 days and keep the seventh day is a rest. And the author said, well, it doesn't make any mention what day it is. It can be whatever day that you want to rest. It just said the seventh day. No. And it says, it doesn't say that you have to go to church on the day you rest. I'm like, I know that doesn't say it there, but it does say in Leviticus 23, it's a holy convocation. I'm debating whether or not to send a letter to Reader's Digest. But what I'm saying is, we have to use this day, this weekly Sabbath day, as God intended, to rejuvenate and make sure we use it correctly. Rejuvenate it with God. That's why it's set up. That's why it's named number one, Leviticus 23. These are my feast days. And the first one he mentions is the weekly Sabbath. So we've got to use it until, you know, like I said, until we get back to the spring holy days and take in there too. God knew what he was doing when he set up his appointed times to come and meet together with him and his son and with each other. A rejuvenation to keep going. I'll be honest, I got back this week and I was tired. Tired. A lot of things are going on in life. We each have our own lives that we live, and I don't know if it's just that, you know, you come back from the feast and it's like, you know, not that, I mean, you want it to keep going, but you have to go back in the world. And the world, it tempts us, it tires us, it weighs on us, the world does. And I'm sitting there watching TV earlier this past week, and I don't know what store or whatever, they got their Christmas stuff going on already. I'm like, and we know that's the world, I'm not complaining, it's just, that's the world. Here we go. Holidays are coming up. Of course, local cities and townships are sending out their COVID-approved Halloween regulations. Well, here's an idea. Don't keep it. Just, if you're worried about it, there's an idea. Just saying. We're going to start into the season of our enemy. Our enemy's season, his false, his fake holy day season, starts in 2 weeks from today. On the day that many people celebrate and observe and say it's just for kids, if we don't have it, what are we going to do with the poor kids if we don't have Halloween? They'll be fine. The children will be fine if we don't have Halloween. But our enemy's false seasons, holiday season as the world calls it, starts 2 weeks from today, October 31st, what they call Halloween. And it leads into Christmas. It leads into the New Year's celebrations that people keep and do. It leads into the, you know, the 12 days, 12th night. Then we start, you know, then that false, that fake holiday season starts Mardi Gras. The Mardi Gras season leads it to Lent. Finally, leads to Easter. And as our enemy's false holiday season wraps up, God's true holy day calendar begins once again. And so we do see a ramping up of our enemy's mindset. We see the increase of fake religion. And many people don't understand that's true. That's because, again, our enemy has been given the opportunity to do his job so well. But in the midst of all this, we have to stay the course and continue the things that Paul just said to do, to meditate on the good things, to meditate on Jesus Christ, to meditate on the Word and the truth that we have learned, so that we can continue to be lights to the world around us. I have no problem people asking me, did I have a good Christmas? Because I say, I don't keep Christmas. Yes, I had a great December 25th. How about you? You know, we don't go out of our way to make fun. We don't go out of our way to backlash. But we should be ready when people ask. Just like when people ask, well, where are you going? Just a couple weeks ago, where are you going? Why are you gone? Church related, holy days that we keep. Same thing. When we're faced with, how'd your Halloween go? Your kids dressing up for Halloween? No, they are not. And you explain. Where are you going? Are you going anywhere for Christmas? No, I am not. Maybe we're going to Kentucky for the family. I don't know if that's happening the winter family weekend or not, but usually that's where we go, Mr. O'Brien's group. But not to keep Christmas. But we have to keep going and overcoming. And our enemy is the prince of the power of the air. And his airways are going and doing these things. And of course, he does it 365 days a year, but it just seems to ramp up during his fake and his false holiday season. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 3. Second Corinthians 10, verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds." For pulling down strongholds. I always think of Jericho when I read that scripture. The nation of Israel, all they were told to do was go march around that city. One time a day for 6 days, then on the seventh day, go march around that 7 times and blow the trumpet. They didn't touch that wall. They didn't do anything except for do what God told them to do. And those walls fell, and Jericho fell, and the taking of the promised land was underway. Our God is mighty, and our weapons that we need to have are in God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Our Savior, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful promise that He's given to us. We have to be strong through what God gives us. Be strong in His truth. Be strong in His truth. His Word, His laws, His holy days, His promises. We already mentioned Leviticus 23. Be assured of those days, those holy days. We talked a lot about, obviously, the fall holy days the past month with trumpets and atonement, tabernacles and the last great day and what they mean and how precious they are to the truth of God and what they show. And we do that again in the spring when we keep the Lord's Supper and the days of unleavened bread and the Feast of Weeks as it leads to Pentecost. That wonderful promise of the return of our Savior. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James 1 verse 16. He says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." James says there that we were brought forth, we were given knowledge, we were touched by the hand of God to understand His truth so that we could be a first fruits. that we would have the opportunity to overcome, be a first fruits, and be there to help our Savior reign and rule for 1,000 years. Again, what another beautiful promise given to us, and a truth that we should hold on to each and every day of our human life. Our job is important. We cannot allow ourselves to be distracted or deceived or run down. I know, we're tired. I'm tired today. I slept in today. I said, you know what? Man, I only have to go to Josh's house for the Sabbath today. I'm going to sleep in. And rest. It's a day of rest. No. Sleep in today. Rest. Rejuvenate ourselves. Last night after sunset, looked up scriptures, read scriptures. Whatever your routine is for the Sabbath, make it a good routine. Make it an awesome routine that you're always in. You know, whether you're watching News Nuggets and Insights, or you're watching a previous sermon, or you're reading scripture, or if you have a Bible study that you're doing, do it. But of course, as always, the Holy Convocation is also today. And part of that routine is coming together as God's people and worshiping God, taking in what He has for us to say, God teach us, taking what He has to say to us through His Word, to teach us, to make us stronger. So the momentum that we pick up keeps going. And not just for the next spring holy day, but for every week of our lives until either we die or our Savior returns. We got to keep going. Who be strong in this truth, as James said. 2 Timothy 3, I read this at the feast. I can kind of hear Paul talking to Timothy saying, this is good advice. Good advice. Listen up. You know, he's like, listen up, Timothy. I'm sending this letter to you. 2 Timothy 3. That's familiar scripture to us. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. He says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. We learn ours from God, through Jesus Christ. Yes, we've heard many over the decades, many voices saying the truth, whether it's Mr. Herbert or Mr. Garner Ted or Mr. Ron Dart or other ministers throughout the years. We hear different voices, but it comes from the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. Just like these words come from Paul or Peter or John. We can read of our own Savior's words in the Gospels and in Revelation and other places. The words come from the Father through His Son to our ears through many different ways. He says, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. See, it says it right there. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. For righteousness. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So again, we feel tired, we come back here. We feel the momentum slipping, we come back here. And we renew ourselves. And we use the weekly Sabbath. Make sure our moral character is where it needs to be. Not self-righteousness, not pridefulness, but humbleness. Doing what is right in the eyes of God. So make sure that we're good to go on what righteousness means. And what we're supposed to be doing as lights unto the world. 1 John 2. 1 John 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. If we feel something slipping away, we got to come back to Christ. And be wrapped up in His character, in His righteousness. We just read earlier in, we go back in Philippians, the mindset of Christ. Abide in Him. Check our gauge, whatever analogy that you want to use. Come back to Christ. Make sure we're there in abiding with Him. And in chapter 3 of 1 John, verse 10, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Check ourselves at the door. What are our thoughts? Are we having righteous thoughts? Are we having thoughts that our Savior would be proud of us having? And our actions? It's easy to get cynical. It's easy to get frustrated. I mentioned that earlier. Just go watch the news for 5 minutes. Actually, watch the news and then wait for the commercials to come on now. Political ad after political ad after political ad, then you really get cynical and frustrated if you allow yourself to be. But we have to remember, we are not of this world. And it's in God's hands how things will work out. How things will work out in our lives and around us. And it says, abide in Christ. We have to know Christ. We have to continue to know Jesus Christ. Continue to take in what He has for us through His love and His mercy. Learn. As it says, and let's go to Matthew 11. Let's go to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 25. What a wonderful promise. Right here. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. See, everything's good in the Father's sight. Everything that happens. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. That means something to us. We know the Father. We don't know Him personally. We know Him through Jesus Christ. And as we talked about on that last great day, we will get to know the Father when He returns. But the Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, has revealed Him to us to understand that there is a Father on a throne in heaven who cares for us. And it says in verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He's there. He's there. If we lose the momentum, you know, we get a couple months down the road, and it's like January, especially up here in Michigan. Sometimes we get winter storms up here, we get buried. And it gets cold, and it gets dark at 5:10 at night, in the afternoon, early evening. Sometimes we get burdened down. Even though we do have the Spirit of God in us, the Holy Spirit. We're human. And sometimes we lose momentum and we lose inspiration. He says, come to me. If you're feeling that heavy load, come to me. Keep coming to me. He goes, I promise. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. And we've got to have faith to trust that promise is true. We have to have that faith and trust. Believe God. 1 John, let's go back to 1 John chapter 5. Let's go to 1 John 5. Starting in verse 1. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. So that goes with what our Savior just said in Matthew. Come to me. Learn from me. Of course, one of those things we mentioned earlier, is the commandments. The truth of God. We keep the commandments. We do the truth of God. We take it in. We love God. God loves us. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith. We are begotten of God. We have the Spirit of God in us. We've been told that. That's the promise. That is true. Repentance, baptized, hands laid upon us, each and every one of us, and God's, the Father's Holy Spirit is in us. What a great promise. That is, as they say, a promise you can take to the bank. Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 26. Galatians 3, 26 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Heirs to the promise. And we could go to Romans 8. We could. I'm not going there today. We went there during the feast, Romans 8. The promise of being heirs. To the promise. To the great promise of eternal life, of a kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. And then beyond that, when the Father returns, just mind-blowing, mind-boggling, to trust that and to know that is true. To understand and know that God, the Father, through His Son, have a salvation plan for mankind. Hebrews 9. And that His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, was sent to this earth. The God of the Old Testament. Hebrews 9, verse 24, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that He should offer Himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. And Steve Talk gave a message about that on atonement. We know that history. We know in ancient Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they were taught, and Aaron was taught, He was the first of the high priests, of the Levitical priesthood. They had to go in once a year. Only he could go in. After he cleansed himself and sacrificed for himself, could he go in behind the Holy of Holies. Once a year, every year, they had to do that. He had to do that. Or the next priest, after Aaron, the next high priest. Didn't have to do that anymore. Because in verse 26, he then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. Excuse me. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. The plan's in place. To understand that plan, it's awesome to know. To be renewed in that plan. And what a great time we had at the feast and of that eighth day to understand and talk about and read the final stages of that salvation plan for mankind. And we're taught that every year through the Holy Days, the annual Holy Days, of a wonderful promise that God the Father loves this earth, sent His only begotten Son, His only Son, to die for our sins. It's truly amazing. And that this has been in place since whenever day one was for the Father. Whatever He called day one, and this plan's in effect. Well, if that was at the creation of Adam and Eve, or before that, whatever the case may be. Truly amazing. And what a loving God. So again, if we get downtrodden, we get tired, we can't keep the momentum, we come back and understand that we have a loving Father that loves us dearly and has chosen us, has picked us to do a job. And we have help to pick ourselves up, to keep going, to regain that momentum. So Ephesians 1. Let's go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 verse 13. Ephesians 1:13 says, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." We're the advanced team. We're the advanced strike force. Not of this world. And just as Abraham knew, as it says in Hebrews, Abraham knew he wasn't of this world. He was looking forward to the day of the promise. No. The patriarchs knew. They were taught. The disciples knew. The prophets knew. Who God would reveal it to, He let them know. And since the death and the resurrection of our Savior, the Father's Spirit is given to those who pick up the challenge, who pick up the call, answer the call, and looking to the being redeemed at the return of Jesus Christ. Awesome. Awesome promise. And again, we could go to Romans 8. I keep saying Romans 8. I'm not going to go there, but Romans 8 outlines that. Heirs and co-heirs. Heirs of God the Father and co-heirs with Christ. And we talked about it on the last great day, that creation groans for the revealing of the sons and daughters of Almighty God. What a wonderful promise of Him building a family. And to stay in the Word of God, we have to make sure we stay in the Word of God. The words, we already read 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. It says, "All Scripture is given." Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Matthew 4. Let's go to Matthew 4. So again, come back to where it started. Come back to what we're called to do, to read and to study. we feel ourselves giving way. Matthew 4, verse 4. This is Christ's own answer when he was tempted. Matthew 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." We live by the words that come from God. We trust in Him to provide a way for us. And since we have taken up the calling, as it was said earlier, as Paul said, that He works through us. So it's not where we want to be. We have to understand that. It's not where we want to be. It's where He wants us to be. And we have to understand that. Sometimes it takes longer to get where He wants us to be than we think it should take to get us where we think we should be, if you just understood the sentence that came out of my mouth. I don't know if I even did, but the point is, when we trust in ourselves alone, and it says in Proverbs, we don't lean on our own understanding, it's when we get ourselves in trouble. And God will get us where He wants us to be, if we allow Him to. And sometimes we may think that He's not answering our prayers, when in actuality He is. And maybe it's taken longer than we think it should because He's testing our character. He's testing us. Just like He did, we could go to Deuteronomy. We could go to Exodus and Leviticus. And He says, the Lord God tells Him, I tested you in the wilderness to see if you would obey Me. We talked about that, the feast as well, those scriptures where He said, in the New Testament it says, these examples are left for us. And that's one of the greatest examples, is the walking in a wilderness to get to the promised land. He tested them. He said, you lack nothing. I tested you to see if you would, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with your very being, you would obey Me and trust Me. His Scripture says that. His Word says that. We are complete in His Word. We are complete when we humble ourselves, as it said earlier, and let Him work with us. When we're feeling slowed down, momentum leaving, we should pray. Pray always, as it says. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 11. Romans 12, verse 11 says, not lagging in diligence. We've got to make sure we're diligent. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Our communication. Keep our communication lines open. In Hebrews it says, come boldly to the throne in times of need. Come boldly before the throne in times of need. Prayer. Keep the communication lines. 1 Corinthians 7. Verse 5 says, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Paul's telling the church in Corinth, you come together. Pray. If you have to fast, fast. Not just on the Day of Atonement. If you think you need to fast, well, we can fast too. That's always an option. And he lays down the name of our enemy, Satan. Does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Whatever that is in our life. Again, if we're being tempted, we lose that momentum. I guess that's the name of the message today, is don't lose the momentum. Because we had such a great time. And I think about this every year at this time, the week after the feast, or you know, the weeks after the feast. Man, we had such a great time. We learned so much. How do we keep it going? How do we keep that momentum going? Well, we use the weekly Sabbath. We use it correctly. We come back to the Word of God. We pray. If we have to fast, we fast, as Paul says to the church in Corinth. We stay with Christ. We abide in Him. We cannot let the world weigh us down. But if it starts, we feel like it. We have to have that choice. Make that choice to say, no, help me. Help me, Father, through Your Son, Jesus Christ, to keep it going. Philippians 4. Back to what we read earlier. We read this earlier. I'm coming back to it. Philippians 4. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. We read it about 40 minutes ago. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Just a reminder. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer. Pray always. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm not going to read the entire chapter. This chapter, 1 Thessalonians 5, is being prepared. Are we ready? Being prepared. I think I said this at the feast. We don't know when our number's up. I mean, with what's coming, some of us, you know, whether we're alive or not alive when Christ returns, we have to be ready. We have to be ready. Because in verse 6, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, it says, rejoice always. So no matter what we're going through, Paul, no matter what we're going through, he says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. There's that prayer. Keep the communication lines open. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, he says. We've been given a great gift, the Father's Spirit in us. So we can't quench that Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. It says, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Our Father is faithful. Our Savior is faithful. Prayer is awesome. Great communication. We can look through the Gospels and see the example that our Savior Jesus Christ gave us to pray. He's praying all the time. He was praying all the time. We can go to Luke. Let's go to Luke. Luke 11. Just an example of prayer. Let's use our Savior as a wonderful example. Praying all the time. Sometimes we may feel there's nothing to pray about. Well, there's things to pray about. Sometimes we just don't do it. And I'll raise my hand too. I'm guilty of that. Man, I should have prayed about that. Or, man, why didn't I pray about this or this, the other thing? It could be something simple. Luke 11. Of course, you know, this is the example. The Lord's Prayer. In Luke 11, verse 2, so he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's just an example of what we should do when we come before the throne and pray and ask for help. Ask for guidance. Pray that His kingdom comes sooner than later. And forgive us, because we do sin. So we do sin. We go to Luke 18. In Luke 18, verse 1, he gives a parable. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. He gave a parable about this situation. If we do lose heart, we get bogged down, we lose momentum. Saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? We keep praying without ceasing. Keep coming. That's what Paul said in his letter to Thessalonica. Communication with God. Keep those lines open. Ephesians 5. We're coming to a close here today. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, Paul writes in verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We just read about the will of God. Pray. Rejoice. Come before Him. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Paul writes that there. Make sure we're using the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, but coming before God and thanking Him and giving Him the glory that He deserves. Well, as we come to a close today, I just thought, you know, how do we keep this momentum going? Well, great feast, wonderful feast. Wherever you were at, we pray that you had a wonderful and great feast. As you went through this message, did you pick up the points that I was making? Paul writes about these very same points in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. We know these scriptures. I'm not going to read the rest until I'm going to read, though, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. God's Word throughout Scripture is talking about His armor, His tools, the warfare that we wage, and it can wear on us. And I pray that all of us had our armor polished during the feast, rebuilt, cracks filled in, dents hammered out. You know, some of us think of knights in shining armor when we think of the armor of God. Some of us may be more science fiction and think of force fields and things around us. You know, when we deal with the armor of God, whatever the case may be, we use the things that we talked about today to make sure we're focused and to keep the momentum going. We have to keep the momentum going, not just to the next Sabbath day, not just to the next holy day. We have to keep it going until He returns. Until He returns. Whether that moment is after we have passed away and died, or if we're still here on this earth and changed in the twinkling of an eye, we have to keep the momentum going until He returns. We read earlier that we need to hold fast. He's coming back, and He's coming with the reward that He wants to give us, and He's coming to relieve us and to help us to stand tall and to rebuild this world. What a beautiful promise. So I hope as we continue on, and we do face darkness in the sense of the generation that we live in, we do see the darkness in the false and the fake religion and the false holiday season of our enemy, that we'll find courage, we'll look at the instruction, and continue to find the momentum to keep going and looking forward to the return of our Savior, Jesus Christ.